The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, the best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
A very good afternoon. My name is Willie King. Stocks climbed today while the dollar declined amid a positive sentiment from China's rollback of COVID isolation measures and the cooling of a key inflation gauge in the US. So this has been a great driver of Asian markets. You have seen Chinese, Japanese and South Korean shares rose. And at the same time, commodity prices also are up. We see oil prices have surge, so is the iron ore and the offshore yuan, which has added to its advance overnight on China's announcement on quarantine. So there's a lot of data coming out on China. And I've invited Suan Teck Kin, Head of Research of UOB, to come onto the show to share with us more about the easing China COVID policy and what's the impact for next year. A very good afternoon, Teck Kin. How are you?
Good, really. Thank you so much for having me here on your show.
How's your Christmas?
Yeah. Had a good Christmas, a good break, and I hope you had a good Christmas too.
Yeah, I mean, this came on, you know, after the break. We are seeing China right now, talking about the headlines and the news on how they're easing COVID policy. And you have also just written a report on China's recent conference. I mean, can you share with us more about what actually went on during the Central Economic Work Conference, which was held earlier this month, and also leading to their easing policy?
Right. I think in this report, thanks really for bringing this up. I already forgotten about it. it's been a while ago already, and with all the holidays. But anyway, so this conference is very important because every year China will hold this Central Economic Work Conference around December, setting the stage for setting the objectives and also targets for the following year. So this time around, for the China, the Central Economic Work Conference, I think the couple of main points during this in this conference. One is to bolster confidence of the country. Right? I think the people have been unsettled by the recent developments, and the conference was came in time, you know, to bolster our confidence because of all this development over COVID, as well as the property market. Right? So there's some measures coming out. And second thing to note from this conference was that domestic demand is the key driver for China's economic growth for next year. So that's very important, domestic demand, which means that they are already foreseeing, you know, all this talk about recession. I'm sure you hear a lot about this, right? Recession in the US and Europe that might be coming.
Yep.
And we are already seeing, I think, some regional countries in China as well. Export demand has been coming off in Singapore. Our Nodex, you know, has been contracting for 2 months. And all these developments mean that China for next year will be putting more emphasis on domestic demand, consumption, that means personal spending, and also corporate investment as well. So these are for next year, really.
So one is the domestic demand, and one of which is also corporate investment. So these are the main drivers. So how is this different from what it was, you know, last year in 2021? Are there any differences in the messaging which they have sent out to the markets?
Sure. Yeah, I think for the past 2 years, after the pandemic hit China in 2020, actually for most part of the Asia, particularly in Asia, we have enjoyed quite strong external demand. Mm-hmm. Right? That means our exports have been performing very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to worry so much about spending, etc., domestic spending. For the past 2 years, you know, 20 over months, for example, in Singapore, our Nodex has been growing. Non-oil domestic exports has been expanding for 22 months. And until we hit the two negative months in these past 2 months, right? We had two negative contraction consecutively. We had a good run, and so did many countries, you know, enjoying a good run for the past 2 years. So now the focus will have to switch away more towards the domestic demand, even for Singapore itself, right? I think the services sector will play a more prominent role going to next year. And so is China. I think the domestic side of the story will be more prominent compared to the past 2 years, where you had the export engine has been running, manufacturing engine has been running quite strongly. But I think the story is going to switch a bit over the next 12 months or so, really.
So China is basically doing is adjusting some of its levers. Mm-hmm. So it is sort of slowing down the levers on its export and manufacturing, but at the same time, right. It's right now pulling the levers on private demand, right? So trying to spur more private consumption, domestic consumption within the economy itself.
Right.
So based on this narrative here, which we are also hearing from China, how are we seeing or what can we expect from the upcoming conference next year in March, somewhere in March 2023?
Right. So so this conference, the Central Economic Work Conference, CEWC, will set the stage and also the targets, objectives to be implemented next year in March, where China will hold its once a year or annual parliamentary session or National People's Congress, they call it, sometime in March, around March. So normally it's a one-week affair. Mm-hmm. But the beginning of the session, the opening and the ending is the more interesting parts of the NPC. So we just have to focus on that. But anyway, for this session, the NPC, they will start to implement and also set the objectives, right, or publicize the objectives or the targets for the year. For example, you know, we share about, for instance, last year, during the March 2022, March NPC, they say that, our growth target would be 5.5%. Mm-hmm. So throughout the year, we knew, you know, as we went into the year, we knew that it's not going to be met this year, right? 5.5, I think many banks and also multilateral agencies have been downgrading for this year's target from 5.5 all the way down to, I think, maybe this year, 3.something% for the whole year of 2022. So for the 2023, the NPC is going to set some sort of target. I think most likely it's going to be set around 5% or so, which was already kind of publicized, I think, a week ago in the Politburo, a month ago in the Politburo meeting. Right? So I think next year we should expect some sort of growth target to be set, which I think is going to be around 5%, plus also other things. For example, for the property sector, what sort of measures are they going to further implement? What sort of taxes or fees changes for companies that they're going to be enjoying lower taxes, lower fees, reductions, and also where are the government investments or spending going to be in which particular area, which I think is likely to be in the manufacturing sector. Some of the high precision semiconductor related areas, they probably will implement that really.
I mean, it seems like it's pretty good news, and it seems like an optimistic story here for China going forward. You know, as an investor myself, you know, I'm always asking this question then. Is it a good time taking to position ourselves for Chinese stocks here?
Well, I think in terms of the stock investment, I think you are the expert, so you probably have a better idea. But what I do want to caution, for example, today, you reported just now, you know, the Asian markets have been performing very well. For the Shanghai, is close to 1%. Shenzhen is close to 0.9% performance. You know, positive reaction to all these announcements, right? The cutting back on quarantine requirements are going to China for visitors going to China. But I do want to caution. I think we are going to see some pretty bad numbers coming out from China for a while in terms of the infections, just like we had in Singapore, right? Remember, I think before we opened up in April, I think we had the days where our infection numbers were in the tens of thousands, close to 20,000. There was one day.
Yeah,
it was pretty scary. Just days before the opening, but the government went ahead, which turned out to be a good decision. I think for China, we are going to see similar numbers as well, especially going to the Chinese New Year. Mm. Right, a lot of traveling, you know, a lot of mingling, etc. Going back to the home, going back to hometowns and so, and all that. So it's not going to be a straightforward sort of development or happening. I think we're going to be we have to be ready for some disappointment as well. You know, where infections and the hospitals resources are being squeezed and also being depleted, etc. So we do have to watch out for those things.
Mm. I see. Yeah. So, like what you said, this reopening up in China, in the economy, there's also that potential infection rate which could actually spike up.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing which is on my mind for China here. You did briefly mention about the property sector. So, how would this opening up of the economy and some of the policies which they are actually changing, how would this actually affect China's property market at the moment? Do you see a recovery from here?
Right, I think we probably hit some already. I think the worst point already, if I may say so, for the property market. I think in various cities, some of these cities they really lack the property purchases for the second property, for example. Right, so I think that should help to at least stabilize sentiment. And also, I think the government has given instructions to banks to support, for example, some of these uncompleted projects that you heard about, you know, protests going on a couple of months back. I think some of these projects, the government has already instructed the banks to provide financing for the project to be completed. So I think these are developments. I think probably will bode well for the property market. But whether is it going to surge to previous levels, I think it still remains to be seen, because right now, I think China, for example, this year, I think the growth rate is not going to be fantastic. That means unemployment and also income growth is not going to be very optimistic for this year. So that means your confidence level not going to be very high for some, for example, the youngsters to purchase a property for their for the family, etc. So that is going to take some time for the recovery to set in. But at least I think we probably hit the bottom in terms of the property market already for China.
Okay. I have here with me Suan Tae Kin, Head of Research, UOB. Thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about China and its easing COVID policy. Thank you so much, Tae Kin.
Thanks, really, for having me here. And Happy New Year.
Yep,
to
you
everyone,
too.
And all the best.
Yep.
In the new year.
You too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.